The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the 25th of May, 2026. And, you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. Like any other day, this, Monday, I will be able to give you the content and also context of, what is in, local, regional, and, international news. And today we are celebrating African Day. It's known as the Day of African Freedom Day and African Liberation Day, particularly looking back to 1963, especially when you speak about the formation of Organization of African Unity that turned into African Union in 2002. And you also look at the intention of establishment of this organization, which was liberation, support African countries to liberate themselves, because remember, 1963, that already marked that many of African countries by 1963 got their independence already, and they were looking at the new ways of assisting others. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is that since 1963, what are some of the major changes that have happened? How did Africa develop in the hands of Africans, and also what are some of the new projects that Africa is doing? Are we moving toward achieving African continental free trade area? Are we moving toward achieving African Agenda 2063? And it will be interesting to look at that concept, because the very interesting thing also about this day is that the plan was very clear to say we must stop, colonialism. On the other hand, we must also upgrade the living standard of African people. And also we must make sure that Africans are in charge of their own destiny. But it's up to you to judge and also look at to say, it's undeniable also to see that there are tangible, improvement that can be seen. And there are still things that you are asking yourself to say. Since 1963, if you speak about upgrading of African living standard, are we winning that battle? If you speak about peace, if you speak about colonialism, what have you changed? Did you only change the master and you continue with the project? And who is in charge of your economy? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. But it's very necessary. It's very important. It's crucial. It's needed. And it's paramount to make sure that, we celebrate African Day. And also love your country. At least, speak your language. At least, wear your African attire. And, also stop, this thing that is called, xenophobia. And also unite as one, because, there's no other beautiful continent than Africa. We only need to make sure that we clean our house. We only need to make sure that we put our house in order. Because there is no better continent that we are going to claim ownership if it's not African continent. And also to find ways on working together with one another. But today is also the day that, the Secretary General of Africa Continental Free Trade Area is going to come to Namibia and also speak about how Namibia will be able to benefit, especially when it comes to Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And yeah, on top of that, we'll be able to give you, news of what is happening in the continent and also what is happening in the region, especially things that affect our bread and butter, either is politics, either is policy, either is trade, and economic affairs. There is health risk, especially when you speak about expansion of Ebola, not only in DRC, but also in neighboring countries. Or we'll also be able to give you what is happening, especially in terms of oil price. But yeah, we'll start with what is happening at in the US before we come to Africa, because we need to start from the global affairs, then we also come to Africa, to SADC, and also to Namibia. The U.S. Head of Intelligence, that is Chief Spy or Director of National Intelligence, has resigned from her post. That is Tulsi Gabbard, a former soldier who headed the U.S. National Intelligence Agency. And she was in charge of coordinating all the intelligence, either is domestic or international. And she has been also a critic of war. But at this point in time, we'll be able to see that she tendered on her resignation, especially to the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump. And she's expected to resign effectively from the 30th of June. And that is one of the news, and it says a lot. It says a lot about what is happening in the US. It says a lot about what is happening. Either is misunderstanding, either is the aspect of war. But what was communicated is that in a resignation, Gabbard has cited, the sickness of her husband, or the illness of her husband, who was diagnosed with bone cancer, and indicated that the reason for her resignation is to support her husband, and is not expected to be in public. But what do you expect if somebody indicated that reason? Is that the real reason to resign from into one of the most important position in the U.S. In the U.S. Government, apart from the president, the head of intelligence of U.S. is the most powerful person. It's the most powerful person, because it's not about it's about the security of the country. It's also about advising the president, but you'll be able to understand that most of Donald Trump lieutenant have been under fire, especially from U.S. Congress. If you ask Secretary of War, or if you ask the State Secretary, and you ask also Gabby herself, they've been questioned by the Congress. They've been questioned by Senate too, especially the context of war in Iran. And also the expenditure, because one of the point of contention in the U.S. administration, particularly when the beginning of war in Iran on the 28th of February 2026, was the aspect of the intelligence assessment, because there was an assessment which was done. Then it was stated that Iran is not the major threat to the U.S. And even though that was provided, and the assessment which was done also to say, when it comes to nuclear program, Iran is not coming up with nuclear bombs. But you'll be able to understand that when the master have said something, you comply. So regardless of intelligence advice, Donald Trump administration has to go to Iran. But that is one of the things that also put Gabby in trouble, because people, they look ahead. Because if you look ahead, you may end up being imprisoned. You may end up being, questioned because of things that you have done when you were on duty. But resignation at some point can also be an indication to say can also be an indication of, disagreeing, or indication of showing a different opinion. But it's not only Gebi who resigned. You also need to understand that the head of counterterrorism, the head of counterterrorism has also resigned 2 months ago, particularly in case of war, where he was also disagreeing. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we can come back shortly.
Every home in Africa is a melting pot of memories around the table. The steady stir of Njima by the fire. The sizzle of Kapana on open coals. From Luanda to Lusaka, Windhoek to Gaborone, different languages, different stories. And at the center of it all, a table. A table where culture is shared, where heritage is celebrated, where families gather, traditions are passed down, and every meal is a memory. This Africa Day, ShopRite is proud to celebrate the families, the flavors, and the stories that make every meal so special. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust, always.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, especially if we look at what is happening around the world, and also, most importantly, what is happening at home. Yeah, coming back to Africa. It is indicated that the World Bank has indicated that, Iran war is forcing more African nations to seek emergency funding. Looking at that, you are not an exception. Namibia is not an exception. It is stated that according to internal World Bank document, that is assessing the African financial standard, it stated that 27 countries have activated crisis financing mechanism since the conflict began in February. The war disrupted energy market, global supply chain, fertilizer shipment to developing countries. And it has also seen, many African countries re-looking at, seeking additional funding. Kenya is among the countries that have been already requested urgent financial support from World Bank amid rising fuel price. And also, expert and Africa Centers for Disease Control are also warning that economic shock could hit vulnerable African economies hard. And the World Bank says emergency tool could quickly mobilize up to $25 billion for countries facing crisis. And this is also another aspect of, continued depending on international financial system. And I don't know if it's coincident or it's just what have happened. Because if you look at Kenya was one of the country, or it's one of the country which stood and said, international financial institution must be changed. International financial institution must be restructured. But the same country that look at the international financial system need to be restructured, they are the first country to react and move at World Bank, especially to look for assistance when things get tougher. And it's also a matter of asking to say, when we are in Africa, whose budget are we operating with? Whose budget are we operating with? And can we really say we are independent if just one little thing happening in the world, then you are already running? And remember, it's not even yet full 3 months as it has been predicted, but that has already shocked us. And it's really a concern, especially when it comes to African states, to say, when are we going to get time to recover? Are we going to be part of the world financial game? And everything, what is happening to Africa, we continue to run and need assistance. And who is controlling that market? Why do we have to depend on other people for everything? Either it's food, either it's fertilizer, either it's technical advice. And when are we going to get time to focus on our own problem? if we are only into this context, because it's tough out there. It's not only for you, but also for African countries that, you know, they look outward. And it's a very important question that we should ask ourselves, especially if we are celebrating Africa, African Day today. To say, when you are speaking about African Day, have we achieved what we are fighting for? If we say we're fighting for independence, what kind of independence did we get? If we are fighting for upgrading African living standard, what living standard was upgraded, or we have just continued with how it has been? Because the founding father of African Union, Organization of African Unity, they had a clear mind, especially when it comes to where they want Africa to be at, and also what need to be done by then, and also by now. But when you are looking at things, the most vulnerable continent so far, by far, and the continent with a lot of very poor country, continue to be Africa, regardless of having wealthy of natural resources, either it's minerals, either it's wildlife, either it's herbs that are used into medication, and also the youngest population. You know, the competitive advantage that Africa continue to have, and what the world does not want us to see, is the active, energetic young people who have potential to build, because there is nowhere else in the world that you find a youngest population like Africa, because around 70% of African people, currently as we are speaking, under the age of 30, that is a potential that should not be taken lightly. Even if you look at African institution, the average demographic representation will be able to tell you that Africa is young. You look at, you compare African leaders, not only presidents, because African leaders are a lot, African leaders, either is traditional leaders, either is church leaders, either is business leaders, you will be able to see that compare with 20 years ago, you realize to say population becoming younger, younger and younger. And the question is that how can Africa become stronger, united, economically independent, and also globally competitive? Because those are still good words that we are hearing on paper. But when it comes to the practicality of things, there is a lot of questions, especially on where we want to get into. And the question that we should ask ourselves is that, is Africa only need to be developed by politicians? Is Africa only need to be developed by those who are in power? Or is Africa the responsibility of me and you? How proud are you today to be an African? But that also says a lot about our financial system, and also the structure of the operation of a post-colonial African state, and also how it operates. To say it's a post-colonial African state, independent state, and it's a post-colonial African state, achieved 80% of what it wanted, or it's a continuation of internal battles. Because at any point in time, it's only in Africa where you see civil conflict. It's only in Africa where you see continuation of civil war. It's only in Africa where you see terrorists that can speak up. It's only in Africa where you see a battleground of global power. But you can't see it anywhere else. But that is one of the things that we should ask ourselves, particularly African young people, to say. Because we have spoken about, we want leaders to open the doors for us. So the question is that, what are we doing to make sure that we are also not going to be blamed by those who are coming after us? Because remember, you are not going to be young forever. One of the day, you are going to be that old tate. You are going to be that old cuckoo. The granny that you see, they were also young like you. They were also dancing like you. They also thought they were number one in the game. until there is no more time. But the main important thing, as it has been stated by World Bank, is the question of economic independence. And when you are getting those 25 billion, possibility of getting those 25 billion, we are now going to pay back those money, because what he's saying, we still can assist you. And is that an assistance, or it's a financial struggle when it comes to where we want to get into? So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And apart from what we are giving you, you can also answer the question to say, are you a proud African? What are some of the things that you are proud of as an African? What are some of the things that you are happy about as an African? And what are some of the things that need to be done? Because, yes, you cannot only complain the whole day. There are things that we still have that the world does not have. There are still commonalities that we are happy about that, you know, the world does not have. But it's also up to you today, in an African day, to say what are those things that you can really say that you are proud of. You cannot trade, you cannot sell for anything, as long as they, you know, the identities that you share as an African. And what define an African to you? But let us look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we will continue to give you what is happening in the continent of Africa, and also what is happening at home. Especially, we'll give you an update on what is happening, especially when it comes to to Magongo Festival, and also the president to declare a hero or declaring a young boy who saved, two twins from drowning, especially when we're thrown in the water, by their mother. Which is something which really need to be condemned. And, we'll come to that, after we look at, our mother continent. To say, when you look at, when you wake up, when you awake, The Kwame Nkrumah, the Idi Amin, the Haile Selassie, them, and also the Kenneth Kaunda, the Jomo Kenyatta. And if you awaken them and also show them a picture of Africa now, how do you think they are going to react? Are they going to react positively or negatively? Are they going to blame us? Are they going to whip us? Are they going to regret the decision of African unity? When you wake up somebody such as Julius Nyerere, what will he say about Africa? Is he going to be happy about the way we deal with natural resources? Is he going to be happy about the way we are dealing with, our own people? Or he's going to ask us difficult questions to say, what have you done? What have you done? Why did you ruin my project? Or they are going to be happy. Who is going to be praised? I think if you wake them up, their favorite kid will be Aliko Dangote. And a few others. I think their favorite person will be Aliko Dangote, who said, no, regardless of me having a lot of money, I don't need to buy a mansion in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, or in Qatar. But I need to build the structures that will withstand the test of time and, expand, African economic opportunities at home and also abroad. I think Dangote will be the favorite kid. But as we are going to be asked difficult questions, say, what have you done when I was not at home? When our founding fathers awake and also ask us what we have done in the context of Africa? What have we done? Did we assist others when we were in trouble? Did we assist Nigeria when it's attacked? Or did we advise DRC when it's torn apart by international capitalists who does not care about the living standard of the people? And they are only looking at, where they can get the resources. And also, how to, enrich themselves without building the country. And it's not the first time. It has been for a very long time. It has been for a very long time. If you look at what leaders beforehand fought for, and the battle that I continue fighting, you understand that heavy is the head that wear the throne. Heavy is the head that wear the crown. Because even the leaders, they are going through a lot. They have been, tempted by a lot of things. They are showed suitcases that you have never seen. But we thank those who remain standing to say they are not going to sell us. Who say we are not going to sell Africa for anything. Even if it is required them to, to lose themselves. But yeah, looking at them, Bola, the numbers of cases continue to increasing, particularly when it comes to Ebola virus in DRC, and there are also some cases. There are also some cases that reported in Uganda. Some cases that were reported in Uganda stated that concern and caution in DRC has been raised as Ebola risk at high level. It stated that WHO, this World Health Organization, has shown concern on rising risks of Ebola highest level for DRC, authorities. And the outbreak that was first detected in Ituri province area, already facing armed conflict and humanitarian crisis, has expanded, where the current records, or the latest records that are standing here, is that there are another 82 confirmed cases and 7 confirmed deaths in the DRC, alongside almost 750 suspected cases and the death are standing at 177. That is according to the latest update of WHO. And looking at Uganda, which border DRC, has confirmed 5 cases of Ebola on Saturday. And when it comes to African Union Health Agency has indicated that 10 nations are at risk of being affected by Ebola, such as Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, and South Sudan. Now, you must be able to know and also understand that when something is spreading among African countries, also know that at any point in time, travel have already taken place between various African states. The question is that, do we have capacity in our state facilities to defend against this Ebola? Is our good doctor, Dr. Ruvindao, ready to fight Ebola disease with her ministry and also with relevant authorities? Either is also the private sector. Is the private sector in Namibia ready, if that of which might be possible happen to knock on our doorsteps, or we are just going to look outward again and continue asking the world, what is our financial defense budget? Because somebody say, show me your budget, then I can understand your strategy. Show me your budget, then I can understand your health strategy. Are we going to be caught off guard as of what have happened during COVID-19 if Ebola stood or knock on our door, or we are ready for whatever is coming? Because remember, whether Ebola come or not, we still have projects that we did not complete. We still have an economy that we have to build. We still have, students that we need to place to universities. And we still have thousands of graduates that we need to give opportunities. And we still have policies to make, because this is not just a distraction, but part of global problems that should not be an excuse for what we want to get into. Because if we have to make them an excuse for where we want to get into, then we will never reach our destination. It's the same which happened with economic or financial institution. If you look at your monetary policy statement, for example, if you look at your economic outlook, for example, if your domestic economic outlook, 80% of it is speaking about international unforeseen circumstances, understand that you are in big problems, because it means that you are not running your own economy. It means that you are not running your own your own show. Because it's not correct in Africa when you listen to a monetary policy statement, or you are listening to or you are reading a domestic economic outlook, most of the reference aspect is on international affairs. But when you look at other countries, it's not the case. Other country can be 50-50. Or global affairs can be part of a normal explanation. But there are also things that we can be held accountable ourselves to say. We can't say we cannot do anything. There are things that we are not doing right. Unless we fix those things, then we can say we have done our best, but something has happened. Because if we have continued to explain our domestic economic outlook and prediction based on global affairs, and we are not saying the economy did not move well because this is the amount of money that Namibia lost because of corruption, or this is the amount of money that Namibia lost because of fighting domestically, or because of loopholes in in the structure of governance, or because of unperforming SOEs, then we are not holding ourselves accountable. Then we will not find a way on upgrading ourselves, because we need to find a balance to say there are things that you know, we can blame others for, but there are things that we can also blame ourselves. It's the same thing that a parent can say, no, my child did not study because there was, or the neighbor, they are always making noise. They are always playing their disco. They are always making noise. It's not a good environment. But on the other hand, when you look at internal level, have you bought a textbook to your kids too? Did you give your kid enough breakfast so that when he go to school, he's not going to sleep? Or have you supported your kid emotionally when he or she is attending school, instead of just blaming the neighbor of making, sounds or making noise that your kid was not able to perform well at school? There are things, even at an individual level, there are really things that you can say, no man, I think I was supposed to be here, but this guy, if it was not because of his action, I would be somewhere. Or no, this guy have blocked my plan, or all these things. But there are things that we can also look at ourselves to say, I think there are also things that I did not do well, but I cannot just blame ourselves. The same with Africa. It's also the same with when this thing of Ebola now is attacking Africa, to say, can you also blame your vulnerability of, your health system? Can you also blame your, our corruption within the health sector? Because if we fix that, we wouldn't be panicking to say Ebola is knocking on our door, but we don't have equipment, we don't have medicine, we don't have specialized trained professionals. We have a lot of nurses that are not working. Yeah, but they were supposed to be trained in emergency, dealing with pandemic diseases. We have little research investment not only NIP, but also in universities, particularly in the area of research, medicinal research, and little support to upgrading of traditional medication to the standard way modern medications are. That's why you also need to look at that standard to say, if Ebola, you want to tell me that there were no diseases 300 years ago. If there were diseases 300 years ago, why do we still have African people that have survived all those years? The same with COVID, same with AIDS, and many others, to say, how did we survive if we continue to blame other people? But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation, especially looking at the face of the continent. And we'll come back at home and looking at Magongo Festival. And also look at the conversation for today, especially when it comes to grey listing. Is Namibia going to exit grey listing? And are we approaching the due date, or the due date is extended? And what are some of the major changes that we are seeing, especially when it comes to the deficiencies that we were given by a Financial Action Task Force that we should address? And can this improvement felt by an ordinary Namibian, or is just to comply with international standard, where it's not beneficial when it comes to an ordinary Namibian? But we'll be able to look at that, especially from the hour of 7. However, you can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, vera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, egelefe.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 46 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And also understand that today we are celebrating the African Day. To say we come a wrong way, especially when speak about modern Africa, come a very long way. Especially when you speak about post-colonial Africa, because post-colonial Africa is traced back at 1963. That is when many African countries got their independence, and when they got their independence, they say no, Africa will never be independent if there is other countries that that are still, under colonialism. That's why if you not praise people such as KK, Kenneth Kaunda, and Robert Mugabe too, because when they got their independence, they did not just say no. We must just start enjoying ourselves and building mansion, but they give resources to others to say the struggle must be continued until all the African countries got their independence. But one thing that you also need to look at is that until now, the aspect of Western Sahara is not solved, because if you look at what has been on the documents on paper, it was to say we are almost there. We only have Namibia and South Africa. Then we conclude with Western Sahara. But Western Sahara, until now, still that situation is still not solved. Still a bone of contention. They still fight. But even though we got independence politically, we are still in pain economically. That's why you see that, we are not moving at the pace that we are supposed to move. However, you still have African countries that you can get an example from, that you can get an example, that you can see. Tanzania before Mama Samia Suluhu, before what happened last year, but the evidence are still there of what the administration of John Pombe Magufuli has done. Of course, with Mama Samia as a vice by then. But you can also be able to see that a strong foundation that was established, infrastructure SOEs, clearing of debt, promoting of, you know, community development, you know, agenda, rather than tender-driven projects. And if you look at Rwanda, post-1993, post-Rwandan genocide, Rwanda has become a force to reckon with. Did not only become military powerful, regardless of its challenges, when you look at the state of art infrastructure, when you look at the advancement in terms of technology, when you look at what they do to build relations and also refining, although they don't have a lot of resources, you'll be able to see that there are those African countries that you can get an example from. You look at South Africa, industrialization has also advanced, although there are still challenges that countries have. In Namibia, what are some of the key things that you can say you have done very well? We have peace and stability. We have education system that train almost everybody. But the quality of our education is still questionable. To say, are we educating ourselves with an education that is, 20 years behind, or we are educating ourselves with education that can solve the current problems? The research that we are doing at the university can be translated into solution in our industry, or we need to upgrade. What other things are we good at? Have we fought corruption in our country? Have we fought the treason in our country? Is our budget reflecting industrialization, or is reflecting economic defense mode? And to what extent have we moved when it comes to continental free trade area? And also, have we done well in terms of gender equality? Is gender equality equal to productivity? Or is it gender equality to fill the international, standard? But those are some of the questions that, as we are celebrating the African Day, we should continue not only asking, but find a way on how to upgrade ourselves. But when it comes to, before we come to Magongo Festival, seems like, Russia, has used one of the most dangerous missiles in Ukraine. One of the most deadly, rock missiles. I think it's something that really devastating. It's called an Rashenik ballistic. An Rashenik, hypersonic missile. And it has destroyed, part of the city of, Kyiv. And it's bringing a lot of fear, especially to the international world. It's really something that, happened after. Yeah, Ukraine maintained the standard of fight, because one thing that you also need to look at is that regardless of Russia being a powerful country, Ukraine, with the support of EU, have maintained that advancement in technological warfare. And they were really advanced in technological warfare, because they are known to have masters drone technicians. That's why with them technology, they've been winning that drone war, because you have seen numbers of Russians and Africans too that were recruited dying at the front line. But one of the things that you need to look at is that Russia continue to be a powerful country in terms of weapons, because they are still not using everything in their arsenal. But what happened in the weekend is it's really bringing a lot of fear Because if you look at what is called the Rashenik missiles, and you look at the impact that it has done, the stadium burning, and the malls are burning, and you know, it's dangerous out there, especially when it comes to that aspect. But let us look at Ukraine, and we can also be able to come back at home. But there's one thing that that Africa is not doing. We know Russia is has been an African friend for a long time, but we must not we must also not be hypocrite. We must condemn what need to be condemned, to say if we stood, if Namibia stood with Palestine, Namibia stood with Venezuela, Namibia stood with Cuba, Namibia stood with Western Sahara. The question that you're asking is to say, when your friend start invading your other friend, why are you not speaking out? We are supposed to speak out too, to say no. Why Africa is silent when Ukraine is being destroyed? It's not just war. It's not cited in any international law. Whether we like Ukraine or not, that is not something. But if we are not happy with, we must also have a standard. Or because we are a very small country, we cannot be able to call our friend to order. But when something is happening in Palestine, in Iran, we can even take, Israel to court. But when Zelensky is under fire, and there's a young man who sustained war, and if you look at him, you know, they are saying leaders are tested by difficulty. You cannot, you can say it's not only somebody who was a comedian and become a president, but you can also say that it's also a lawyer with a thick skin. You can stand up to one of the second most powerful person in the world. It also says a lot. Whether it's your weapon or not, it's a young man who remain defend, and also standing up for his country, because if the law have to apply, that is not the correct way of, settling disputes. But it's up for interpretation. You can have your own view, especially with that aspect, because you look at numbers of people that died in Ukraine. Even Russians, even North Koreans, even Africans. If you listen to what is being revealed, if a country such as Kenya can present their intelligence report to media, know that it took somebody who has courage to present things that are happening in secret to the public, to say, no guys, we must stop this thing of recruiting each other in secret, because our sons and daughters are dying in the, on the ground field of Ukraine. If Zuma has to tell his daughter to step down from parliament, know that something is not right, especially with Russia and recruitment of African to fight in that, because Russian government is not denying. It's not denying. It's up to African country to say, no, chief, please don't recruit our kids. Because thousands of Africans, they died in Ukraine. Some are still there. Were promised jobs online. Then end up, fighting drones. How can you fight a drone with an AK-47 Assault rifle? You are not going to win, because a drone is one of the deadliest, weapon. There are also those controlled, drone that can capture you, or robot that can capture you, because it's a war that is fought by technology. But yeah, let us look at this, because it seems like after Russia being also bombed, then they have advanced their game. And after this war, it's not going to be Ukraine anymore. When you are looking at things, after this war, it's not going to be Ukraine anymore, because the destruction is so severe. That, because they are saying Rashenik hypersonic missile is a missile that you cannot defend. It's a hypersonic. When you hear it, it's already done. and you will not even see it coming. That's why you only find yourself with an impact. It's not an atomic bomb. It's just a ballistic missile. But with an advanced level. Some of these people...
Esira shisho, pagyo tadi kukwathere opoguro kara uwa sira ya kweni o chisho. Patuchi itana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora o madidiriko ugo petameko ugena cha nupiakadhi nenge o mathidakano opama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga. Pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwathera nukuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwonjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na e hangono maradura sano odovina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you
your health your life your peace of mind NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, let us look at Ukraine and Russia. Then we come back to Namibia.
Backs the damage from Russia's over. President Volodymyr Zelensky inspects the damage from Russia's overnight strikes on Kyiv. Some 50 locations across the capital were hit, including shopping centers, residential buildings, and government offices. Zelensky says Russia's aerial assault once again proves it doesn't play by the rules and goes after civilian, not military targets.
The museums, schools, just apartments, the museum of Chernobyl, which was built, by the way, on 40th anniversary. It was built just 1 month ago. And so they attacked, they saw this museum, they attacked this exactly to the museum. So just crazy.
Russia's hours-long overnight barrage included some 600 drones and 90 missiles. Ukraine's Air Force says it destroyed or intercepted most of them. The owner of this coffee shop in Kyiv opened despite the damage. Yevgeny Prusak says the strikes came just one day after his grand opening.
Once the emotions die down a bit, we will think about whether to restore everything or whether to even work at all. Right now, there are quite a lot of questions, but fewer decisions than questions.
This customer says she came here specifically to support the owners after the attacks.
I decided to support the guys. I know they only recently opened. I constantly saw work being done, so this is my first time coming in. Unfortunately, it was under these circumstances. I hope it won't be the last time.
Russia confirms it also used its powerful Oreshnik hypersonic missile in the overnight barrage against Kyiv. This is only the third time the weapon has been used in the four-year war. Moscow says the strikes were in response to Ukrainian attacks on civilian facilities in Russian territory, including this student dormitory in the Luhansk region in Russian-occupied eastern Ukraine. Kyiv denies those allegations.
DW correspondent Nimisha Jaiswal is in Kyiv, and earlier she told me what she experienced.
Yeah, that is what's happening. While the world is looking at Iran, Russia is raining fire on Ukraine. And if you are looking at those buildings, look at the whole mall. It has bent to the ground. The whole mall and the parking. The whole neighborhood is destroyed. And they're saying since 2022, it's the beginning of the war. This is one of the most deadliest attack. And know that when the war is escalating, it graduates to different level of, actions. Because if you are moving from Rashenik, maybe you are going to see other form of bombs coming. Maybe they have mother of all bombs, like USA. But you will be able to see that Russia is also elevating its level based on, you know, advancement of Ukraine. But there's one thing that is always coming into my mind to say, when there is conflict, there's one thing about human activity. Whether there is war, whether there is drought, there is always somebody who is continuing with his human activity. You always find that person who is continuing. If he's a driver, he's a taxi driver, continue driving. If he's a restaurant owner, continue selling. There is always that human activity that you don't kill from people. Whether there is drought, whether there is xenophobia, there is always business going on. But it's very interesting to see, even when you look at this, you know, raining of fire in Ukraine, you still find business people that are continue selling. You still find business people that are continue selling. Coffee shops are open near the almost destroyed malls. But you can also see that, you know, war is devastating. But when you also look at countries and their interests, you're really able to understand that when it comes to that aspect, somebody say, these are the big boys of international politics that are pursuing their interest. Because if you take BRICS, for example, you have Russia and Iran. In the global public, in the global image, you see Iran is a victim of, you know, invention, where the whole BRICS should sympathize with it. But what do BRICS countries say to Russia? What do Xi Jinping say to, you know, to Putin? What do Trump say to Putin when they meet? Then you also understand that sometimes you're also on your own. Because there are certain levels that you are not able to go. There are certain levels that you can condemn openly, but there are certain levels that you are not able to go. And understand that we may all have sovereign states, but we are not equal in terms of ranks, power, economic standard, and also military power. Because you can also see the division between Europe and USA. Because it seems like USA is no more interested in Ukrainian war. USA is no more interested because even when he was cornered by the Middle East people in the Strait of Hormuz, nobody helped him, especially Trump. But let's see how things are going to turn out, because this will only continue to affect Africa. Know that it's not only about oil and gas from the Middle East. It's also about wheat. It's also about fertilizer. It's also about animal product from Russia, you and Ukraine. That's why in Africa you are on your own if you are not making your own things. You are on your own. People that are going to make more money are those who are investing in the country, particularly looking at fertilizer. Refining oil and gas, and looking at refining also minerals, and also tech advancement within the continent. But let us look at a short commercial break, and we'll be able to continue.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ulipura nengenyo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi tayo loka opone ushenji finawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, coming back at home, what happened in the weekend is Magongo Festival that happened at Ukwambi Traditional Authority. That is at Ukwambi Palace at Onamega. And you can also see that it's one of the very important festival that Namibia always celebrate annually, where we keep our tradition and culture, respecting African values, and also bringing people together. Because those days, during Magongo Festival, African people understand, or Namibian, particularly Oshiwambo speaking people, understood that when it comes to Magongo time, there is no used to be a traditional tribunal. It used to be a time of celebration. And if somebody promise you a god when I drink Magongo, go and take it that day. Because tomorrow, when he asks you, when he come back to his, normal way of doing things, that used to be a time. It used to be a time of celebration. But what stood out is also that you must be able to understand that the president is always up to date with everything which is happening in the country. And from civilian activities to state business activity, don't think the president is not listening to everything. Understand that she's always up to date, and she's number one client of information, particularly that concern the country. But one of the things that she has done is to declare a national hero to a young boy who saved, who saved the lives, especially twin children who were almost killed by their mother. You don't know what is happening. And on Friday, I was speaking with that friend, and he was very angry. He said, no, you cannot, he said, you cannot, use, there is something that is called, it's a post-traumatic situation that women go through after they give birth. And he said, no, we understand that there is that aspect, but you can't use that as a reason for killing or damning children or kids. It can be a standout reason. If somebody done a criminal activity, it's just a criminal activity. And he gave an example that there are mothers who, go through a difficult situation, especially raising a child who is in a very difficult condition, but they manage to maintain them. But only saying that when a man killed somebody, it's a murderer. But when a woman, throw away kids. She was having a post-pregnancy traumatic situation that happened to them. That is really unfair. And we should not shield any criminal behavior in Namibia using that only reason. Unless there is something that that can be proven by the doctor to be the only situation. But when you are looking at that aspect, you must really think beyond the obvious. Otherwise, we will not have a balanced situation. In a short period of time, we'll be able to look at Marongo Festival.
Every home in Africa is a melting pot of memories around the table. The steady stir of Njima by the fire. The sizzle of Kapana on open calls. From Luanda to Lusaka, Windhoek to Gaborone, different languages, different stories. And at the center of it all, a table. A table where culture is shared, where heritage is celebrated, where families gather, traditions are passed down, and every meal is a memory. This Africa Day, ShopRite is proud to celebrate the families, the flavors, and the stories that make every meal so special. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust, always.
Yeah, we just listened to part of the speech of the head of state, and we can move forward. And we'll come back to the conversation for today, especially when we'll be looking at exiting of grey listing. Exiting of grey listing. Namibia exiting of grey listing.
Recognize you through His Lordship Justice Peter Shivuti to all Owakwanirwa, Omalenga, Gwigaw, and all the traditional authorities who are present here today. Director of Ceremonies, historically, as is already mentioned, the Omagongo cultural celebration was observed separately by the Ovambo traditional authorities. However, in 2001, under the visionary leadership of our founding president and father of the Namibian nation, Dr. Sam Sifuna Nyoma, the festival was unified into an annual national cultural event celebrated on rotational basis by the 8 traditional authorities of Northern Namibia. And the presence of everybody here surely tells us this is a national event. I want to confirm last year, Chief Ipumbu has announced that we have to do research and identify every region in Namibia where marula trees are found so that they become part of the celebration when it comes to rotation. And I'm happy he repeated this today. Today, the Omagongo Festival remains a symbol of nation building, cultural pride, and a unity in diversity. As a nation, we remain grateful to our founding president for integrating culture and tradition as an essential pillar in driving unity, democracy, and social economic development. His vision to the machines of Ponding Omahangu, who are we finding there? Otavatu? Otavatu Nimeaningipu. So therefore, this culture also demonstrate that our people value their roots and traditions are strengthened to shape their future. Director of Ceremonies, this year's theme, Roots of Our Unity, Seeds for Our Future, really highlights that our national unity is grounded in our rich cultural background. From Oranje Mund to Katima Murilo, from Hobabes to Opuo, our diverse cultural landscape remains the foundation that binds us together as one Namibia, one nation with one heart and one mind. Accordingly, as a nation, we must all ensure that our culture and traditions remain a strong glue that holds us together now and in the future. We must reject, in the strongest terms, any attempt to use our diverse culture and tradition to divide us. O misuluru akalo detu na ditupe ngono, o donati tuture kumwe, di na tupitika nande nande dirongifwe, opo ditu tukuleni. The theme of this year also reinforce the wisdom of Comrade Sam Safishuna Nujoma when he said, and I quote, "A people united, striving for a common good for all the members of the society will always emerge victorious." And this is the theme. It's so fitting that we are marking this day when he's not there, but he is there. For me, he is there. He created a strong foundation, and I want those words to be always sounding in each and every Namibian's mind. When you see that things are becoming tough, just think of that. When you see these instabilities coming into our society, think of that. I can tell you, you'll become more focused. In this regard, let us be mindful that the seeds we plant today of unity, cultural preservation, and inclusive leadership will be the fruits for the future. While remembering that a good seed yields the best harvest. So we must really have the best state of mind at all times to plant a seed of true unity, and then we be assured of a good harvest. And what is a good harvest? A harmonious Namibian society, whereby each citizen is caring for another citizen. Director of Ceremonies, on this occasion, we also celebrate the significance of this festival as an international recognition. It was already mentioned here.
Yeah, that is part of the speech of the President of Namibia. It's one of the best speech that she gave, especially looking at Geto Mbagongo Festival. And it's also the same point that she has, you know, spoke about heroic activity of a young boy who did not only save lives, but also brought hope. Say somebody who does not know how to swim, indicating that if I die, I die. And saving the lives of those two children. I think it's a heroic move. Who knows if they will become the engineers that will construct the best, roads or infrastructures in Namibia. Who knows if they are going to become the doctors that that will add to heroic doctors in Namibia, such as Dr. Dumi. Who knows what will happen to these children when they grow up, because there is always a reason. There's always a reason to say the story of a hero is not one direction. There is always suffering from day one. But how are these children going to be in the future? It's an interesting story to look at. Good morning.
Hey, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, yourself, man.
I'm well.
Yeah.
Hmm. How are you enjoying your African day? What do you have today? What do you have to say today?
Yeah, we are not interested in African day or
what. No. You must focus on what is there.
Because the problem is, if there's nothing really wrong, but when the thing becomes so, don't you know me? You must have to wait. Because these days must have values. We must use this day to reflect to some of the issues that we really find solutions to them as a community now.
But did we move?
That's not just to say, this day, see that day, this what. Until we add value to that, then it's okay. You know, on Magongo.
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing.
It's a very,
even if the president is emphasizing on the culture and he's speaking English, it's okay. Among the tradition.
But she was speaking Oshwambo also.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me,
yeah.
The president would have just speak, English. Oshwambo.
But what do you say about those who are listening?
My friend, you must see that, you must find a way, to learn. Because the country, must find a way to learn all the language in the country. You know that there was a time, Namibia, those are the Namibians.
It's true.
Yeah.
And we laugh at them when they brand in.
Marane, these are the people who can speak on the language.
It's true.
From Africans, so Shiherero, Nama, Shwambo, they speak all this language. But that's why even the people who come up with that language you call Fanagalo.
Yeah.
Well, Fanagalo, my friend, is just those Bantu who came together.
It's a mixed...
They just... Because everybody has his own language, they just start speaking that language, which emerged from all those Bantu things. And I always emphasize to say, look, in Namibia, there are only two languages.
Yeah.
Bantu and Khoisan.
Come again?
So, Bantu and Khoisan.
And Khoisan?
Herero, Kavango, Katima, Bambus. These are one people.
But where are you putting English and Afrikaans?
My friend, you cannot really go, because it's part of us.
Okay.
By default. Because the two. That's why I said... That the two, you cannot divorce. Even the Germans, it's part of it.
No, I get you.
Because this is where civilization, Western civilization came from. And they lay the foundation for the modern society that we have.
And there are people.
Yeah, there are people.
Yeah.
You cannot speak Namibia without speaking the Germans or the Boers. No.
It's true.
Namibia is not complete like that.
No, he did not even start there.
I tried to be frank with you. So that's why I said the president is emphasizing culture, but why you are speaking English? Because the model is to say, if you want, you know why, for instance, the Dr. Itula, they speak all the language. Just go back to their history. How they used to play. Then the school they went. Their neighborhood. It was like that. Chashi, you can only learn the language when you are young. Playing in the street. Now, when you are building this township, you are supposed to make sure that you mix all the tribes.
You don't divide them.
Government initiative program like master housing or whatever. You know when you are giving plot and house, you say this one is a Vambo, followed by Nama, followed by, followed by Herero.
It's a good thing.
You make sure that, and you create playgrounds for these kids.
No, it's,
that you know that the street itself, the location itself, is already a combination of people from different tribes and kids are playing. At the end of the day, they will end up speaking all the language.
No, it's therefore, a good thing. Just hold on, hold on, hold on.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today. Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
Yeah.
You see, you don't just speak diversity and unification without knowing how to harmonize it. You see, to harmonize, you make sure these people play together. And you also make sure that the school also, you build a lot of boarding school.
Yeah.
Sometimes you take children from the south and you take them away.
No,
you take them to the south. We are not saying take everybody. As long as you know, if there are 10,000, 20,000 children in the south, you say now you take 40% of those kids must be divided among those regions. You understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
Boarding school.
Yeah,
so that they will be taught exactly that language.
Even employment wise, because you have to bring about look at regional councils, for example, I don't need to look at the person and I say, no, I think this one is from Karas. If you bring a group of governors here or chief regional officers, then I cannot say, no, I think this one is from Karas, this one is from Hardap. I must not do that. Because if you are speaking about diversity, What you are thinking is what was done in Rwanda after 1994 genocide. They say, no. If you are getting married, make sure that for us to build our country, a Tutsi must get married to a Hutus. School must be mixed and there's no enemies anymore. And it's working.
Yeah, the problem with our people is to say we always speak about tribalism and our diversity is our strength. Even the National Assembly said it. You know, contrasting beautiful Namibia. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's to harmonize, the diversity that we have in terms of the culture and the effect of everything. But how? That's why you find people they are preaching, tribalism and what all this.
Mm.
But people didn't know that you must know how to harmonize it.
Okay.
All this government initiative, like you, as you are saying, in Rwanda, on the issue of the marriage, the government must put incentive there.
Yeah.
For that. There must be incentive.
It's true.
Because you have to entice the people to do it.
Yeah.
They themselves they cannot do it.
Yeah, because
say, at the end of the day, when there are tribalism, for instance, and people have crossbreeding, what do you call it in marriage?
I know what you're thinking, but I don't have the word also.
Is it consanguineo? What is the word? Maybe a lot of people would. Consanguineo relationship.
Yeah. Maybe. I think it's...
Maybe that is through marriage. Eh, there is a kind of that word.
Yeah.
So, that is the way you are trying to say, look, there will be no problem when you say, no, this one is not that. So that tribalism automatically will disappear.
And maybe on top of that also to say is it fine when we have our Omawongo to be the way they are or value addition have been done so far, especially when it comes to that.
You are correct. I was also coming to that line.
okay.
On top of Omawongo,
we
must see the whole value chain of it.
Yeah.
The whole value chain of it in terms of to say, what else that we get from there, apart from the juice, apart from, Omahuku, Mahuku Nagadi, you see?
Yeah.
The whole value chain.
Mm.
Paife tatu kara hatu kufi ima aroma kongo po. Italongwa mama kongo yanzo juu sa imi.
It's a good question.
These things have to be no kukuna ikomit. Even to plant these trees.
It's true. It's true.
I remember even when these people are at the time when the town was expanding.
Yeah.
On Dangwa.
Yeah.
These people did not put protection in Komigongo.
they just cut them.
They cut. And you are here celebrating Omagongo.
Yeah.
That's why if you are not planting and you are not protecting these trees.
No, even farming with them, it was supposed to be something that bring us money too.
That's what I'm saying. It's a good initiative that the traditional leaders have to come up with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We as a society we need to think, broad now.
Yeah.
In terms of the whole commercial value.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm thinking to say, if you are going to Omagongo,
yeah,
then that day everything must be include the whole value chain of Magongo.
To say, yeah.
And you make people to experiment in it, whatever is coming from it. And that is where now, because.
But I see Onjove has advanced in value addition. I think that I have seen one of the entrepreneurs who said even at the US market, I think Onjove have advanced.
But what you see now, I have seen a lot of some people who are doing it.
Ne?
If you ask what protection they have from the state, from the government.
I don't think there is, but I don't even intellectual property wise, I don't think there is.
Because these people have to sell this like this thing to the European people, like kind of a sometimes individual. They are not, because they are saying if you are celebrating your festival, then you have to bring everybody together so that we understand the whole value chain of it. And it must be a commercial value to the country.
And we must study that soil and to say if we have to plant them for commercial use, how are we going to put them? Because this one, what we see is just a traditional way of saying, no, in my field I have two or three, not really interested in planting. Or maybe we are using those old marula tree.
So maybe you know which one we are with me. Ka ulimesa.
I don't
know.
Hey. Oh. Mara, can I not farm it?
I know. Let me tell you the secret of it. I'm saying.
Serious.
Marongo, so I remember Musae, I got Mokuche came on small monomigongo, because the Farako, Jabamos Fadi, Atali, Nange. So, Otoa de Momigong was the Adi Mimaya Corp. Maracon made it for Digimon, Vurandita, some few years ago. I am the one, what are you going to make now?
Aye. No, then we must find the way. We must find the way.
Yeah. The whole now, if we really want the, and this we're just appealing to the president, if we really want to strengthen this thing, what we call a Magongo festival, then it must kind of, we must start to look at the issue of the curriculum about it.
Indeed.
Yeah, we need a curriculum about it. But first, because the goodness of it, everybody knows.
Come again?
Have you even seen There is a difference between the magongo wako wako nyana no magongo wako wako.
Kisina.
Koka.
Wako
wako kasi nangyo shumano ka. Ushu chomwe.
Yeah.
Nga wako wako kasi na, aga kwa te, aga tipi, aga kusikiza noko osike, o meyari ipeta.
No, it's true, but I think the aspect of bringing all the products that are coming from Marura, and we also find a way to say how much money are we making from Magongo, or is just something for us that we can drink. Even Tombo itself, if you can, you can look at it and you put what is this drink that people like so much, Jameson or what? People add value to their drinks, but the way people have been doing Tombo and ginger. And it's not advanced.
It's a matter of saying, look, Ngere, if you are not, because Otombo is Nija.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, it's already a commercial value by itself.
Yeah.
Because you need to learn to cultivate. You need to understand how to grow and everything. It's not mathematics.
Mm.
And on top of that, you are not teaching. The only thing I'm grand about it is like we have absolute advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to start very big with it. You know what I want.
Scientists to come and study it here. Then we sell Otombo to France. We sell like they sell us their gin and their wine. No, if you add value to it at the commercial level, they will take it. Why not?
That's why we said that.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can do very quickly, Ahongo especially, Marura, you understand?
Yeah.
Because why there is a commercial value and maybe some quality with that oil. That's why you see white from France and Europe, they are buying it from the people who are producing it.
Even nutritional value.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But why are they selling us wines and whiskey here? What's the difference? What's the difference?
No.
Yeah.
That's why I said that.
Yeah.
It's the same way you are saying. Why do we have, you know, Aturando Moroto or Brain and what, but Irumbi, why can't we not sell a squid like?
No, it's the same. It's the same argument. My argument is only to say why.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm saying it will take you years, my friend.
Oh, you mean this?
Because you need to take something which is a bit, you know, that's
so,
almost.
Like, so oil is a bit practical, ne?
Yeah, that is there's a lot of things that you because you start.
Okay.
Is
it a breed or nenge opevi mairi or can I take that one and then I blend another one?
Yeah, sometimes that is a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
We need to put a researcher. So don't be omigongo don't need to add it. Odina kuningba introduce kadishwe omagongo this is the way.
Then, okay. I hear you.
Because you have to, Omarenga, they need, because social media is like, because there were those things, there was that proper coordination, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There was that proper coordination to say, look, how are we going to coordinate now the whole, you know, Omigongo now, trees, to make sure that, and to differentiate them now, to say this one in this category, this one in this category, this one in this category, in terms of their juice. Ne?
Even at the festival, we cannot just bring any Omagongo, those years.
If you entice people properly with all this information about it, then it will be, because it's a community thing, it's a collective thing.
It's a very important argument that you bring about. Very, very important, especially with Omagongo Festival, because it's more than celebration and people coming together. You know that some people, they are just going there for photo opportunity. I'm not saying everybody, but we must expand that thing to say, no, it's a very important festival.
The state itself now, the government itself cannot be, you know, because people, the knowledge is on the ground. But when it comes to commercial value and profit price, my friend, the government must step in to assist these people.
It's true.
To assist these people to understand the issue of the commercial value and the profit price.
Okay.
And that even the campaign, I get to say, look, let's make sure that and immediately after. And one of my suggestions was to say, you know, when you are going to Magongo Festival now, they need now to already nomigongo that Sikwana Remo Summit.
Yeah.
Then you said, as we know, that's the whole week or something. They need to go Kukatsiko Migongo. What they go?
Yeah.
Or all the traditional leaders, they were supposed to be given each a tree now.
Then
you start monitoring.
Even 3-4 depends.
You see,
Oh, it's a good question. Okay, time, ne? Thank you. That is a conversation to say, let's add value to Omagongo. It's a very important conversation to say what are some of all the products that are coming from there. And also to look at beyond tradition, beyond what you already have, to say what do we do to plan the, Engongo, Omigongo. And also many other also traditional, events that are coming through to say, apart from looking at our history and background, can also look at how we came so far, because tradition also develop. People do not know that tradition, they go also through phases, phase one, two, and three. There's also advancement in terms of tradition. What you've been doing in your tribe for a long time has also changed. This change and what Lazarus has brought about is very important to look beyond the obvious, to look critically and also see what is coming from this and how we can look at that aspect. But yeah, it's 50 minutes past the hour of 7, and as I indicated that we'll be speaking about gray listing, but what is interesting is that conversation is what matter, because this is a money conversation, and also to understand that Namibia is faced to exit the gray listing. It was supposed to be on the 26th of May, but looking at the aspect of the arrangement of Financial Action Task Force, seems like to be the next month, but we are yet to see how things are going to be. But looking at all the deficiencies in our financial system, either it's financial terrorism, either it's illicit financial flow, either it's recruiting of experts in the financial investigation or capacity building to an investigator, either it's prosecution of financial crimes. Seems like Namibia has addressed those issues. But when we tick those boxes, my question is always to say, if one of the recommendations, for example, for Financial Action Task Force is to make sure that you have a capacity of a financial investigator of anti-money laundering, you have strong laws in terms of anti-money laundering and, protection against terrorism financing. In terms of time taken to finalizing, financial terrorism and also time taking to finalize cases of money laundering, my always question is that which case stood out? Because we still have a high profile case such as Fishrod. Is it going to be the reason we are not going to be removed from the gray listing, or we are just going to be removed from that aspect? Even if you are a law student and you are watching at that case, you can really see, no, it's not only about Haitatu Kuripi and his comrades, the Shangara them and that Isaac. You can also question the judicial system to say, how come since 2019 you don't have a clear line of how these cases are going to be finalized? How come there's still no clear lines how these things are going to be finalized? And the other aspect also of saying, if you are protecting against illicit financial flow, Your recruitment of financial investigator, your establishment of anti-money laundering unit within the financial sector, education and all these things, are this impact felt by the people on the ground? Or is it only to praise the Financial Action Task Force? Have we reduced in terms of statistics, particularly people losing money through this cyber security, cyber attack things, and also the con artist that call people, even ministers, losing money. I think there was even a point the former prime minister lost money. Just the phone call, somebody do financial transaction. And people are not even scared. How can you scam a minister of defense? People are not scared. But how can we know that we are moving if There are no clear records? If you ask the bank, ask BON a question to say, do we have records of how much money Namibia lost because of cyber attacks? They will not tell you. I asked that question, I think, 3 times. Maybe they have numbers. But it's a very interesting thing that we have moved. But let's see what will happen, especially after the meeting of Financial Action Task Force, to look at Namibia. So let's look at the caller, because the caller did not want to wait. Good morning.
Good morning, Shobe.
Oh, morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, now we are in African Day.
Yeah, we are in African Day.
But to myself, even how long was this? How many years now this African Day is now?
No, it's many years. If you have to calculate from 1963 to 2026, so we are celebrating 63 years after Africa, because that is also known as Africa independence, because most of African countries got independence already by then.
Yeah, but since we set up the African days, and then what the purpose of doing it is maybe to achieve something.
Yeah, because the first thing was achieving liberation struggle, independence, and also what is also interesting there, what I also read is that they wanted also to uplift African living standard, especially removing African from a poverty line, which I'm also not seeing yet.
Yeah, so far we are still maybe even below the poverty line.
we are there. We are there. Even Namibia, when you are looking at it, we are all struggling. No, we are looking
yeah,
at it.
If you say the people are on the poverty line, it means that people cannot afford their basic necessities.
The basic necessity, even do you know that you can have everything, even if you don't have a house, that is also is something that you are lacking. Just proper housing.
Proper housing is one of the basic necessities. This
yeah,
floor,
yeah.
We talk about the basic necessities. Talk about a place to live. Clothes. We talk about water and the other things. What is the other thing?
And food also, and security, and other aspect, other countries, human right. It's a human right to have a proper housing.
Yeah. But since we are just for celebrating these days year by year, but we never achieve our goals. How do we feel proud of this day if it's celebrated with nothing happening?
You know, I'm also looking at that, but let's see their progress that are seen. Let's see, the picture of Africa in 1963 and the picture of Africa in 2026. You may have, progress that you see in Africa. However, the main progress that we want to see is human beings, because people only speak development looking at buildings, but who is using those buildings? Who built those buildings? Where the money goes? And all these things. But the people, we are still, I think human development is still a challenge, like you indicated.
Yeah, you see, we are independent by political independent.
Yeah.
But when it comes economic and other things, our mind is still colonized, still in the same situation, because we cannot even do anything. If you compare, let me say, even take one country by country, like let me take Namibia.
Yeah.
If we talk about the balance of payment.
Yeah, yeah.
We are having the deficit, trade deficits.
Yeah, yeah.
High, very big.
Yeah.
Trade deficit.
Yeah.
If you add Namibia with a big trade deficit to other countries, which is also having the same deficits, it means that it's Africa to reform up even SADC region with a higher deficit.
You are right. You are right, my brother. Yeah, you are right.
Yeah. If you are not doing good, just start at home. If you are doing bad at home, if you are doing corruption in your house, plus another house is doing corruption, and then you form up a village. Village form up
in the region.
And the constituency form up a region. Region goes to form up a country. Therefore, to us as an African, I don't know why we are not doing the drawing board. Where are we
saving? No, it's a point of reflection. Even when you ask that question of, for example, of corruption, to say, are we Africans our own enemies? Are we our own enemies? Because yes, we were talking about colonialism. People are taking our resources, but are we also taking from our own people?
Exactly. No matter, you can say in the context of Namibia, you can even say the colonies, they are better than us. Because that time, we were having what we are getting three textbooks. And the other things.
No, somebody was saying, no, take me back to my colonial master. I also
Exactly. He said, no, they can even say, oh, no, it was like Moses or was even crossing what the desert of Sinai, where people, they said, you take us back to the meat, what where you take us.
But
that is the reason of that, to make us understand. But the way we are progressing, we are failing. If we are missing what we are, but you still continue. What is that? What kind of people are we in that capacity?
It's a very good question, because somebody may also want to ask, maybe when you are saying that, is that maybe the pain we are paying through to get to a better Africa? Because if I have to take you 10 years ago, there was never really an African president who can be called to court. But now when you see, I don't know, are we going through that pain so that we can grow, or we are going down? I also do not know.
I don't know who is really in front of us who are. Because you see, somebody, we give a time to somebody to try to drive us, take us to the destination. But it won't even go, maybe it will be go beyond the repair. When the person will stop driving, everything is already gone wrong. And to correct that mistake, it will take us 100 years, maybe a lot of 100 years.
Okay, just now, because of time, I'll steal 2 minutes from unpacking the day. I want to ask you a question, especially when it comes to African citizens. We have been putting a lot of pressure to economic leaders, political leaders, and all these things. Now that we are in a bus called Africa, or let's call it Namibia for now, we are going to 2030. What is our role also as citizen in this bus that we are in? Is there also something that we are also not doing right as ordinary citizens? Let's talk about Namibia, for example. Are there things that you can really say, no, I think our citizens, we are also the problem. We are elected leaders, but there are also things that I think we must also work on. What is your view on that?
As I am a human being, but to do my role, I tried my level best. And what is making me to fail is a policy made by our own leaders. That policy also giving a problem to the ordinary people there at the ground. If somebody is trying to do this, a policy do not even allow you to do that.
You are right, yeah.
The police are saying, we are preventing a people barrier in the people's doing things. Who should we blame?
No, I hear you,
I blame myself, so I'm not come up with an industry.
Yeah.
Or should I blame, or be, but because there's a policy, and that policy put up a lot of requirements which you cannot even meet.
No, I hear you.
Even last Saturday.
Yeah.
Where I'm staying here, you see people who is been their business also destroyed by municipality.
Serious?
They say, yes, exactly. People are trying their level best.
No, I think you.
Oh, let us give you the place and they put you in order so that
where is that? Are you in Zambezi?
No,
I think that is something which I wanted to say. You can be hardworking, but if the policy is not on your side, you are going to suffer. Imagine a woman who sell Kapana for 20 years, then he had hope in SME Bank, then SME disappeared. How is this person going to build a restaurant?
That's what we are talking about.
That is a very fair argument that you brought, to say you can be working very, very hard, you can be very serious, you want your kids to go to better institution, but if the policy is putting a burden on you, you are not going anywhere.
You won't go.
Yeah. No, you...
That's what we see.
It's a very good...
We are also screaming that they should come up with a conducive, they should put for us a conducive in the past. They fail to do that.
But do you know that Bank of Namibia came up with a study of informal sector, and they have a plan in place on how to work those things out. But and they saw something which I'm speaking about, and they said themselves to say we cannot operate two economy. Informal economy is also our economy. But when things are happening to those people within
town councils within municipalities. It seems like these vendors are not heard. I see vendors in Windhoek. People just even give up on them to say, ah, there's nothing that, you know, can do. But let's continue that conversation when you are celebrating African Day. There are always things, most, that we can also celebrate. Not everything is bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And that is one of the great contributions to say, look, a person, you can be very, you can be hardworking if a system is against you. If the system is still serving a colonial master, honestly, you are not going to work. We have people who are working very hard. We have people that don't sleep, Namibians working very hard. But the system are not on them. The policies are still complicated. Petroleum sector is coming out now. We still don't have a policy on petroleum sector that is conducive, that can be able to assist us getting what we want. Either it's going to be amended or either it's going to be passed as it is proposed. At the policy level, I think we are failing because you need the law to direct you. But that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And I'll leave you in the good hands of Unpacking the Day team. For me, Devin Shombe, bye-bye. See you around. And sharp, sharp.